It is a privilege to welcome this morning someone who is a highly sought after and well-respected voice in the church, Mary Palmer, who teaches and speaks around the country on issues of evangelism, growth, and mission in the church, and does so under the rubric and framework of invite, welcome, and connect. She has done this in more than 42 dioceses. In fact, we are the 42nd diocese she has brought this work to, and yesterday she spoke to a packed house, including many of you. And she's here today to exhort us, in connection to the scripture, to continue the good work of growth. And we're just delighted to have you here this morning, Mary, and back at the annual meeting as well. Thank you, and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Jared. As you said yesterday, I led an Invite Welcome Connect workshop, and I am so grateful to Jared for inviting me and for your bishop for helping host this and for this church for hosting this event. Effective newcomer ministry includes three vital essentials. Invite is evangelism. It's really for us to understand that we can share our faith story and our journey with others in a way that Episcopalians find comfortable. Welcome is the ministry of hospitality. And connect is giving meaning to membership. It's empowering lay people for ministry. Today's Old Testament reading speaks directly to the heart of this work. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. To love kindness, some versions say to love mercy. The Hebrew word rendered here as mercy, hesed, is difficult to translate with any single English word. It's a relationship word. God wants us to love kindness. The Hebrew word hesed refers to God's loving kindness, and we respond to it by sharing it with others. One of my favorite authors, Presbyterian Frederick Buechner, writes, "Compassion is the sometimes fatal capacity for feeling what it is like to live in someone else's skin. It's the knowledge that there can never be really any peace and joy for me until there is peace and joy finally for you too." There's a quote attributed to a number of people that speaks to this. It says, "Be kind, for everyone is fighting a great battle." The deep truth of invite is courage versus fear. It takes courage to invite someone to church. But the bottom line is that evangelism is not so much about offering something that is ours to others, so much as it is extending the invitation, leaving the rest up to God and the Holy Spirit. As I take the work of Invite, Welcome, Connect around the country, I share my story of how I came to be in the Episcopal Church, how I was in my early 40s, divorced, single mom, and Southern Baptist. And a woman with whom I sat on the Symphony League board called me one day out of the blue and invited me to go to church with her, to an Episcopal church. I was pretty much overwhelmed. How I subsequently became Episcopalian. Courage. It took courage for this introvert to pick up the phone and call me and invite me to church. She didn't ask me if I was looking for a church. She didn't ask me where I went to church. She simply invited me. The deep truth of welcome is seeing the other. Welcoming the stranger is welcoming Jesus. Jesus asks us to see one another in a new way, in a way of love and compassion and forgiveness. Jesus modeled this for us all through the Gospels, and we are called to do the same. We are called to really see every single person with whom we have contact on a daily basis, and also with every single person who walks through the doors of our churches. Welcome is one of the signs that a community is alive. A community which refuses to welcome, whether through fear or weariness or insecurity or a desire to cling to comfort or just because it's fed up with visitors, is dying spiritually. In doing this work, I share the story of my grandson, born 6.5 years ago in southern New Jersey. He was born on September 11th. My son and daughter-in-law worked for DuPont. My daughter-in-law is a chemical engineer for DuPont and worked in the corporate office in Wilmington. When little Ike was born, they named him after my father, Isaac, who lived down in Natchez, Mississippi, where I grew up. Little Ike was born, they knew something was wrong immediately. He couldn't suck or swallow. So they life-flighted him over to the DuPont Hospital for Children in Wilmington, Delaware, where he spent weeks in the ICU, the PDICU, and they finally determined that he had a very rare neurological disorder called Mobius syndrome. It affects the 6th and 7th cranial nerves. The little Ike had no facial affect. He had a little small left arm and hand, club feet. They put a feeding tube in him and sent him home. My son called me from the hospital. I was there taking care of their 2-year-old, Abby. He said, "Mom, find us a church." So I picked up the internet. I looked on the internet, looked for a church in that little tiny New Jersey town. There was one church that had a website. It was a little historical Presbyterian church. So on this October morning, we go to church. I take a picture of them outside the church. Lee's holding the baby. My son's carrying a baby bag with all the paraphernalia and all the tubes that the baby needs that's on a feeding tube. And he's carrying this big old Bible that my Southern Baptist grandfather had sent. We go in the church that day to worship, and we leave. And not one single person even asked us our name. I had begun doing this work, and I was really upset. A couple of weeks later, little Ike fell asleep in the doctor's office, and he stopped breathing. They put him back in the PDICU. After more weeks, they determined that he had something called central apnea, something called trachea and bronchomalacia. They put him on a ventilator, sent us home with round-the-clock medical care, where he stayed on the ventilator for 3 years. He's doing a lot better. They've taken him off the ventilator now. He's in a little Montessori school in West Virginia. My son gave up his job to be a stay-at-home dad. Little Ike is just now becoming aware that he's different. My family lets me tell that story, and it's heartbreaking. But my family needed community. And they needed a faith community. When people come into the doors of our churches, it's my belief that the Holy Spirit brings them in. And it's our job as a church not to jump on them like we're selling them a used car, but to be in relationship with them and to get to know them and to find out what brought them in to begin with. The deep truth of welcome is seeing the other. Our work, your work, is to create safe spaces of welcome for people to come become vulnerable to the workings of God's love. And we are to do this first ourselves, making sure that we understand God's call to us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. The deep truth of connect is the sacred act of listening. When we relate to those around us by hearing their stories and then connecting them with others, we build loving communities of faith that God intends for us. When newcomers come into our church, the last thing we need to do is to tell them all the things that we can do for them. Instead, we need to listen to them, to hear their story, to find out what brought them here. Real listening is a kind of prayer. For as we listen, we penetrate through the human ego and we hear the Spirit of God, which dwells in the heart of everyone. When you listen generously to people, they can hear the truth in themselves, often for the first time. As the body of Christ, we must get seriously intentional and systematic about this vital essential of connect and the deep truth of listening. The core values of this work are to be prayerful, intentional, accountable, relational. Living into our baptismal covenant begins with prayerful intentionality, with a conscious decision to become reflections of Christ in our actions and our reactions to life. It takes a conscious, intentional effort to see Christ in every single newcomer who walks in the doors of our churches. It takes conscious, intentional effort to live our lives so that every person we encounter on a daily basis can see Christ in us. The core value of relational ministry runs throughout this work. And at the end of the day, Invite, Welcome, Connect is all about relationship. We were created and we exist in the image of a relational God. And our spiritual and our human connections are what give our life meaning. Neuroscience research now confirms that we humans are hardwired for connection, and that our nervous systems actually want us to connect with other human beings. So it shouldn't be surprising to us that when people join our churches but they don't find those relationships that are so vital to their spiritual, mental, emotional well-being, they go right out the back door in search of that deep longing. Could it be this morning? Could it be that today's readings are causing us to look deeply into our own hearts, into our own thoughts and intentions around the people that we encounter on a daily basis? Could it be that God is calling you out of your comfort zone to have the courage to invite someone to church, the courage to discern your own giftedness, and then to use those gifts in the body of Christ? Could it be that God is calling you to see others as Jesus sees them, in the way of loving kindness and compassion and mercy? Could it be that God is calling you to a place of humility, fully realizing that walking humbly with God is not always an easy journey? Transformation happens in our lives when we're able to see old things in new ways, full of new possibilities. Jesus calls us to live transformed lives, to see others in a new way, a way of love. And we are transformed when we adopt this new view of ourselves and new behaviors. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. My prayer this day is that I helped you to change the way you look at these three essentials of invite, welcome, and connect. We are called to be fully engaged in living out God's transformative mission of hospitality to the world. And something sacred happens when we seek those deep truths of invite, welcome, connect, courage versus fear, seeing the other, the sacred act of listening. And while the people who are invited and welcomed and connected will benefit, at the end of the day, we are the ones who will be transformed. May this be our prayer today. May we ask God for courage, for faith, not fear. May we risk seeing and welcoming others with the chesed, loving kindness of God. May the world see Christ in each one of us. For that is our calling. Amen. Amen.